Now, in your Bibles today, I'm looking in 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. And Paul makes a statement here in verse number 14 that I'd like to preach from today. He says this, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." Now, our Heavenly Father, as we look into this important message, will you help me to say what I should say? Help me to say nothing I should not in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in this verse, he talks about the grace of God. He talks about the love of God. And then at the end of it, he talks about the communion of the Holy Ghost. Now, Paul is wanting these things to be in the believer's life. First of all, we need the grace of God. And you have the grace of God, but let me just say that sometimes a believer might get caught up in sin and different things, and God may not manifest His grace as much as He would to a believer that's walking closer to God. Now, the love of God, God loves us. Amen. But we want the love of God in our hearts. We want to show that to other men as we walk in this world. Then we come to the communion of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me just say that when you get born again, you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you from day number one. You never lose Him. He never leaves you at all, okay? And you have somebody living inside of you. Now, you have a conscience before you get saved, but your conscience is not near as powerful as the Holy Spirit that lives inside you. Once you're a born-again believer, you have somebody living on the inside. You have God Almighty living on the inside of you in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not preached on much. As a matter of fact, I don't think I've ever heard a message preached on the communion of the Holy Spirit. Now, friend, He is so important in our lives. And if we would live our lives filled with the Holy Spirit, and what that means is allowing the Lord to control your life. Just allow Him to control your life. And if we would live our lives that way, we would live so easy. We would live above the storms and troubles, a lot of them of this life. And I don't mean that we'd never have any, but we'd live. In other words, let me give you an illustration. You know, an eagle, he can just fly. He can sail above the storms. And they say an eagle glides 90% of the time in the wind. Now, God compared the Holy Spirit to the wind in the book of John. In other words, I guess what I'm saying is we can glide 90% of the time if we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, this flesh will never stand for it. This flesh don't like it. This flesh does not like for you to be controlled by anything but it. And most people are controlled by the flesh. But we need some folk, men, women, boys and girls, young people, to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, having communion with Him. Now, when you have communion with somebody, you talk to him about what he wants to talk about. And then you talk to him about what you want to talk about. And you have communion back and forth. I have communion with my wife. You see, every day we ride to work, we talk to each other. We have communion. We have communion going home. We have communion at supper. We sat yesterday at supper and discussed some things. And we have communion, you see. But I want to have communion with the Holy Ghost. That person that lives in me, that God that lives on the inside of me, I want to communicate with Him. I want to know what He's thinking. Now, very few of our believers in this day and hour really know what God is thinking. Why? Because we don't take time to commune with Him. Now, I'm going to give you today, using an acrostic, and I'm going to use the word communion. Now, I realize that's nine letters. C-O. Communion is let me go back up here. Amen. I want to get this right, and let me give it to you. C-O-M-M-U-N-I-O-N. That's nine letters. Amen. And so I want to give this to you. Now, number one, if you're going to commune with the Holy Spirit, you must continue, using the C, continue in the secret place. Now, that must be a regular prayer life. Now, I'm guilty sometimes of praying one day and the next day not praying a whole lot. You know what I'm saying? The flesh never likes prayer. But I'm going to throw fasting in there too, prayer and fasting. Now, fasting is not giving up your television. I want you to understand that, and we've cheapened that in this hour, all right? Don't think that fasting is giving up deer hunting or giving up shopping trips. That's not fasting, okay? That is not Bible fasting. And God does not, now God may honor that in other areas, but God does not honor that as a fast, okay? If somebody says we're going to have revival, so we're going to give up our TV for a week, that's not fasting, all right? Now God may honor you giving your TV up a week, but He's not going to honor as far as fasting goes. But fasting is doing without food. Be careful with that. But I believe by prayer and fasting in the secret place. Now remember Jesus was going to cast out the devils down in the book of Matthew chapter 17. And the disciples said, why couldn't we do that? And he said, because of your faith. And he said, howbeit this kind go forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now, if we're going to continue with God, if we're going to commune with God, if we're going to know God, we've got to continue in the secret place. You've got to spend some time in prayer. Preachers, as a matter of fact, in the Bible, you are to be given to prayer. You know, prayer should be the main part of your life. Prayer and the ministry of the Word of God. That's what the Bible says. And many of us fail and come short in that area. But we are to give our lives to prayer. And somebody said, I don't think you ought to be studying all the time, praying all the time. Well, not all the time. But the majority of the time, we ought to give ourselves to the Word of God. You say, well, preacher, I've got responsibilities. I've got family. I've got children. I've got grandchildren. That's good. But your grandchildren ought to know that you walk with God. Your children ought to know that you walk with God. More than participating in the things of the world, I'd rather have a preacher that knew God, that walked with God. Amen. So our communion is in the secret place. Now, many times I get in the secret place, and I begin to commune with God, and God begins to talk to me about what He wants to talk about. Just this morning, I was in the secret place and praying to God, and I started to pray about something. God said, let's don't go that route. And I sat there on my knees. I said, all right, what did you want to talk about, Lord? And He talked to me about something I had no idea that was on the Holy Spirit's mind. He talked to me about it today. Now, let me say something about that. That's not weird. That's not weird to communicate with the Holy Spirit of God. God talked about the communion of the Holy Ghost. Us preachers need to know the will of God. Folk, ministry is a responsibility. I have one of the greatest responsibilities in the world. I reach people. I preach to people every day of my life. People I'll never meet. People that are hurting. People that are about to commit suicide. People that are lost. People that, my friend, the common people. People that, I preach to rich people. I preach to famous people. I preach to nobodies. I mean, listen, I preach to all kinds of people. No doubt. Somebody's heard me on the radio. So here's what I do. I have to be careful and realize that I need to commune with God. I need to commune with God while I'm preaching to these people. I need to come on the radio filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I need to be in communion with God. I need to be in communion with heaven, trying to figure out what heaven wants. It is not what I want to preach. I can sit down. God's given me a unique ability, and I'm not bragging. I can sit down in 10 minutes and come up with you a series of sermons. You can preach them in your church, and I can make them sound good. It doesn't mean, now, look, well, hold on a minute. I'm not against series of sermons. I preached a series the other day, 20 sermons in a series. I preached another series, 76 sermons in a series. I'm not against that. But we'd better make sure that we're preaching what the Holy Ghost wants us to preach. Communion with Him is talking to Him. Many believers are saved. They're born again. And they spend their whole life, they never talk to the Holy Ghost of God. They never talk to Him, never. People spend their whole life, they never. Only time they ever pray to God is when something happens. You know, I don't particularly care for people coming to me and the only time they ever speak to me is when they want something. I hope I don't do people that way. I'm afraid sometimes maybe I do, but I hope I don't. I don't ever want to use people is what I'm saying. You got to be careful. You don't just call a friend up just when you need something. You need to just call them up and to tell them hello every once in a while. And but here's the thing about it. Does God take kindly to us just calling Him up when something happens? And God's always merciful. He'll always help you. But shouldn't we talk to God at all times? Now, if you want to have real communion in the secret place, Matthew 6:6 says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. All right. You want to be rewarded openly? Pray in secret. And God will. Number two, communion with the Holy Spirit is open your heart to the Lord. Now, if you really want real communion with God, you've got to let God in every room of your heart. You've got to give God the key and let Him go. You can't hide anything from God and have real communion with Him. Now you say, preacher, I'd be afraid to do that. You say, preacher, there's things in my heart I wouldn't want my wife to know. I wouldn't want my husband to know. Ain't it time to get those out? It's right now time to get those out. You know, the judgment seat of Christ is coming. And I don't want to stand before God with secret things in my heart that God's going to bring out in front of everybody. I don't want that. You see, God looks on the heart. God don't look on the head. God don't look on words. God, you can say, I love the Lord all you want to. But how does your heart show it? Amen. You see, now in Psalm 139, now these verses right here, verse number 23, the psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. The Bible says, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And the Bible said, lead me in the way everlasting. He said, I want you to lead me in the right way, the way everlasting. But I want you to see if there be any wicked way in me. You know, we can be saved and have wicked ways in us. Communion with the Lord is the Lord flushing all that junk out of your heart. And you see, it's not just sins of the outward. It's not just sins of the flesh. I mean, listen, there are sins of the flesh. There are sins of the outward flesh. I mean, wearing the wrong kind of clothes and smoking the wrong kind of things and the cigarettes and all this kind of stuff. And I don't do any of that stuff. I'm not mad at people. I don't do that. But deeper than that, a man can be clean on the outside. A man can wear the right kind of clothes. A man can never smoke, never chew. A man can never drink a drop of alcohol. But on the inside, if that man's eat up with bitterness or unforgiveness, he's in worse shape than a man that has his outside messed up. You see what I'm saying? I mean, we need to let God get on the inside. Let God get about our motives. Why do you do what you do? Why do you do what you do? You know, I know people, they're manipulative. They seek harm to other people by playing little games and doing little things. And let me tell you something. You need to get away from all that stuff. You need to let God search your heart. Friend, today we are very guilty of not letting God search our heart. You know, there's some of you husbands right now. You need to go back and make things right with your wife. Amen. You're not always right. She's not always right. Lady, there's some things you need to go make right with your husband. Hey, sir, there's some things you need to go make right with that church. There's some things you need to make right with God, make right with yourself. Young people, there's some things you need to make right with God. Your heart's got all messed up. You know, your heart can get hard. Did you know that? You listen to preaching, you go to church, and boy, you say, man, they just lay it on me, and your heart can get hard. But God wants your heart to be soft. God wants to search your thoughts and your heart. What do we think on, brother? Boy, our mind is a battlefield for the devil. You know that? You know, in the last 100 years in America, there's been so much appeal to the mind. Hollywood has come on the television. I mean, nudity, profanity, ungodliness, immorality. Alcohol. I mean, listen, they can't sell anything without having a half-dressed woman on there to get your mind. And then the little crude jokes and the little crude, 30-minute little television programs honestly, growing up, we didn't realize they had as much effect and we didn't realize how they were shaping society. We are where we are today because of all that junk. Now, we can say what we want to, but we are where we are because of all that junk. And we can laugh about it, but we are where we are. We wonder what's wrong with America. Let me tell you something, folk. America was founded by people that love the Lord. So if America has slipped into sin, where are those people that love the Lord? You see, we need communion with the Holy Ghost. When you have communion and He's got your heart and mind, you're not going around telling filthy jokes, you know. I mean, listen, you're going to be thinking on heavenly things. Amen. You may be thinking on godly things. Let the Lord get our mind. Boy, I tell you what, He's still working on me. One of my favorite verses is Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Now, that word will means He'll do it if you let Him do it. You can stop God from working in your life. Did you know that? And I want God to finish the work He started in me. God's still working on me. I'm certainly not where I need to be. I have not arrived. Amen. You haven't either. But our heart, communion with the Holy Ghost, open our heart to Him. You say, Lord, you say, preacher, I'm afraid to do that. Let me say, God's kind, God's merciful, God's not going to do anything against you. God wants to do everything to help you. Open your heart to God. Let God search your heart. As the psalmist said, search me, O God. Don't ever be afraid as a Christian to pray that prayer, search me, O God. Don't ever be afraid. Let God put His spotlight upon you. By the way, don't get mad when some preacher preaches something if he's preaching from the Bible. Don't you get mad about it. Listen, friend, if a man tells me something from the Bible that I'm doing wrong, I need to listen to it. There's a man the other night in church. He got up and preached. I'll tell you what's truth. He wasn't loud, really. He didn't run the aisles. But I'll tell you one thing. He got down there where I was living. And I tell you, then this last night, I turned a preacher on, listened to him. And boy, the Holy Spirit impressed me, said, I want you to listen to such preacher, and called his name to me. And boy, was the message for me. Now, brother, you ever had God do that to you? I'm telling you, you know what that is? God getting a hold of that heart. Communion with the Holy Ghost. Number one, continue in the secret place. Number two, open your heart to God. Number three, let me give you number three, communion with the Holy Spirit. Number three, here's how you communicate with the Holy Spirit. Meditate in the Scriptures. Now, this is not preached much, but meditation is the greatest form of studying your Bible. Now, some believe that they got to have a stack of dictionaries out, and they got to have a stack of books and commentaries, and they're going to find out, and half of it is what man's opinion is, and half of it is Bible. Listen, sometimes, if we ain't careful, we'll incorporate secular history into the Bible to try to explain something, and if we ain't careful, that history goes against what the Bible's trying to tell us. We got to be careful with that. History is not the authority. The Bible is. Okay? The Bible is. We got to be careful that we preach the Bible. We got to be careful we study the Bible. So, meditate on the Bible. Now, it don't mean that you don't use commentaries and other books. That's called studying, and that's good. But a lot of people put more emphasis on studying than they do anything else. But I tell you what, I put emphasis on meditation. You know, as a young preacher, I've been preaching now. I'm in my 42nd year. And I don't know much. I don't claim to know much. I know God, and I know what's right and wrong. But let me say something about that. The greatest things ever happened in my life, and I learned more Bible when I meditated. And I've gotten away from meditation over the years. I do more study and more reading and things of that nature. And you need to do it all. But let me say, the greatest days of my life was when I sat under that old tree outside in the summertime. And I'd fast part of the day and pray a little bit and read and study, meditate. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I meditate in the Scripture of God. Now, you want to commune with the Holy Ghost and find out what He wants? Get in His book. You see, the Holy Ghost is the author of the King James Bible. He's the author of the Bible. He wrote all 66 books, 1,189 chapters. You know, the Bible said, holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And our Bible was written in a great way. It was written spiritually. Now, you say, preacher, I don't understand the Bible. Well, the Bible was written spiritually. The Bible was not written according to man's wisdom. That there's some things in the Bible that you might say, oh, it would be better worded this way. You know, I run up on men all the time in the commentaries, and they'll say, well, the translators ought to have said this, or they should have said that. Let me say something. That is worldly thinking. And you're not interpreting the Bible spiritually. You see, there's a spiritual interpretation to the Bible. God wrote it the way He wanted to write it. And we're to read it that way. Now, I know I've read this psalm to you over the years many times on the radio, or these verses, but I'm going to read it again, Psalm 1, verse number 2. But he's talking about a man, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It don't mean that he goes around with the Bible in his hand all the time. Meditate means to muse on. Meditate means to roll over in your mind. Think about it. But I will say you won't do much meditation if you're bound to television. If you're bound to sports. And I tell you, sports has got America, boy. They can't miss their favorite team playing. And I tell you, God's been dealing with me about something. I'm not a Pharisee. I'm not the son of one. I am not going to get on the radio and tell you that I'll never listen to another sports game. I am not going to tell you that. Because as sure as I do, the devil put a ball game, you'll turn your TV on, and I'll be sitting there in the ballpark. I'm not going to tell you that, but I am saying this to you, the Bible said, lay aside every sin and lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Some things are not a sin, they're a weight, but you need to discard them if you're going to do anything for God. I talked to Dr. Stennett Ballew one day, and we were talking about how he knew the Bible. And Dr. Stennett Ballew said, well, I don't listen to sports. Now, he wasn't criticizing sports. He didn't say anything about it. He just said, I don't listen to it. In other words, I put that time into meditating in the Bible. Brother Lou was always wanting to figure things out in the Bible. He died wanting to figure things out in the Bible. He ran some things by me that were, some of them were deep. I mean, you know, deep. And I'm like, man, Doc, I can't, you know. And I mean, but here's the thing about it. He wanted to know the Bible. And you know the Bible by meditating in the Bible. You know, one of the greatest things I ever did as a young preacher, I read Proverbs chapter number 6. And I read there what God said about adultery. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? My friend, I've read those scriptures. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But he said, but he talked about a man that commit adultery, a wound and dishonor shall he get. How many times in 40 years, almost 30 some years since I started meditating in the Bible like that, has the Lord replayed those verses in my mind? Now, I tell you what, I've seen men fall in the ministry. Nobody's above falling. But I've seen men fall into sin. Why? Because they did not heed the scriptures that God laid before them. I tell you, brother, the devil don't like meditation, but that's communing with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I want to show you the promises to a man that'll meditate. Verse number 3. You ought to underline these. Amen. Write them if you're writing your Bible. And he shall be like a tree. A man that is meditates in his Bible, he's going to be like a tree. He's going to communicate. You'll be strong, man. When other people are weak, you're going to be strong if you'll commune with the Holy Ghost. You see, it doesn't matter to me what the commentary writer says altogether. It doesn't matter what Dr. Know-it-all, professor thinks he knows it all says in his book. It doesn't matter to me what the Bible college teaches. It don't matter to me. What matters to me is what God said. Now, I say that in not in a state of rebellion. I hear these people all the time, well, praise God, I ain't serving no man. I'm going to serve the Lord. They wouldn't know the Lord if they met him in the middle of the highway. I'm not against Bible college. I'm not against commentaries. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm just simply saying when it comes down to the Bible college or God, God's Word, I'm going to take God's Word. If it comes down to the commentary or the King James Bible, I'm going to take the King James Bible. And when you meditate in the Bible, you're just meditating the Bible. You're just getting by. You're going to be like a tree. You're going to be strong. Listen, I know what I believe in the Bible. You're not going to shake me, Lord willing, on what I believe. Number one, I ain't going to sit and argue with you. I don't debate scriptures. I don't swap lists of scriptures. You're not going to change my mind. Well, I've come too far down the road now. You say, well, preacher, if you're wrong on this, you know, preachers all the time. Well, I've seen the light on this. I used to believe it this way, but I believe it that way. No, what we believed 40 years ago is what we ought to be preaching now. If it's right 40 years ago, it's right now. God don't change his mind. Amen. Now, you may get some wisdom about you. And you may preach with a little bit more wisdom. And I hope I'm doing that now more than I was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 5 years ago. I want to preach with the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's an interesting word, planted. You ought to study that out sometime. That word planted means transplant. That means that God will take you from one place and put you in another place. I'll give you an illustration. The Word of God will take you from gossip to grace. Amen. It'll take you from worry, amen, to faith. Amen. It'll take you from doubt to doing. Amen. It'll take you, my friend, from sitting idle to serving the Lord. Amen. That's what I'm saying. It'll take you from one place and put you in another place. When you start meditating in God's Word, them feet will move forward. You'll do something for God. You know why people don't care? You know why church is just a thing to them? They come, they serve, they sing in the choir. They go home, it's same old thing, same old thing, same old thing. No meditating in the Bible. Now, let me ask a question. Do you watch more Westerns on TV than you meditate in the Bible? Do you watch more movies than you meditate in the Bible? Let me ask you another question. Do you spend more time on social media and the phone than you meditate in the Bible? Now, what's meditation, preacher? Read a verse. Think about what you're reading. And you might think about it all day. Just think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Meditate in the Bible. You're going to be planted. Let's go back and read. All right. Verse number 3, Psalm 1. The Bible said, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. In other words, if you'll wait on God and you meditate in the Bible, you'll bring forth your fruit when it's time for God to use you. His leaf also shall not wither. That's very important. While other people are drying up, you'll be green. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There you go. There you go. Amen. Now, if you want communion with the Holy Ghost of God, meditate in the Bible. And you're going to prosper. Amen. I can guarantee you on that. You say, boy, I wish I knew my Bible like so-and-so. You can. You can. You don't have to take a second seat to nobody in the Bible. You say, preacher, I'm uneducated. I'm unlearned. That's all right. I am too. I went to the 10th grade in school. I never went a year of Bible college. I never went a day of Bible college. Now, I'm not against it. But I'm just simply telling you that what I know in the Bible, I've studied, I've meditated from God. And I try to preach the Word of God to the people of God. Now, I'm not saying everybody ought to be like I am. College is for some people. Because I'm going to say something that's going to shock you. Did you know the college is not for all preachers? Now, some of you pastors think all your young boys have to go to college. College should not be a requirement. It shouldn't be a have to. There are some boys that just ain't going to fit in that environment. All right, let them be who they are. Now, I'm not talking about somebody lazy. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about letting them off the hook and not doing anything. But I'm talking about, amen, God can still use people no matter how many degrees they got. Amen. Now let me go on. Number four, if you want to commune with the Holy Ghost, amen, continue in the secret place and then open your heart and meditate in the Scriptures. And number four, let's talk about music. Do you know you commune with God by listening to music? And I'm talking about godly music. I'm talking about, I want to show you a verse in the Bible. I want you to show you something. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine, the Bible says, and let me get over here. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. The Bible said, but be filled with the Spirit. All right? Now, that has a semicolon beside of it. That means that the rest of this is connected to it. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, when you get filled up with God, you're going to sing. Now, I'm not a good singer. I like to sing. But I like to listen to singing. You ever turn the music on? And I'm not talking about some of this rock gospel. God knows there's no such thing as rock gospel. There's no such thing as that. But I'm talking about good hymns, spiritual songs, and psalms. And let them minister to your heart. Let them speak to your heart. And boy, I tell you and the Holy Ghost can have a camp meeting. I never forget a friend of mine. He's a well-known singer. He gave me a CD. And I put his CD in one day. It's one of them songs, he's just thanking the Lord. Boy, he's just thanking God. Now, you don't have to believe this. You can call me anything you want to. It's all right with me. I started out in my office. When I come to myself, I was on my front porch on my knees praising God. Well, preacher, I just ain't never had a spell like that. Do you good one time. Hey, it'd do you good to shout one time. It'd do you good to praise God one time. Listen, brother, communicate with God in music. Amen. Now, some of this stuff, it's entertainment. You can't do it. God don't call anybody to sing. Singing's not a calling. I just want you to know that. Singing is a talent. And we're to use the singing. We're to use it in our local churches. And we're to sing. And we're to give glory to God Almighty through the song. I love it. Amen. Somebody said, I just don't like that old, slow, dignified music. Well, let me say this to you. It's good in all of it. But I like that's going to bless my spirit more than it blesses my feet. Amen. Now, some folk, they ain't clapping and stomping their feet. They don't think they're singing. But I give me the hymns. I told them in a church one day, if it's good enough to say in church, going to say right here, I'm going to say something to you song leaders. I'm not telling you what to do, but I guess I am. Please don't ever start your service out with a Southern gospel song. That will kill the service more than anything in the world. If you start a service with a Southern gospel song, you're done right there. That whole service, it just kills it. Start your services out with hymns. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Amen. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. Oh, I mean, listen, the old rugged cross, amazing grace. I was in a service the other day and I'd never seen this done. I liked it. And they started the service out with the old hymn, Just As I Am. I'd never seen that done. Man, that done something to me. I like that. Boy, that got me in ready to worship. You know, you need to get, you remember Elisha? And they came to him and they was wanting something. He had them to bring him the instrument and they began to play. And when they played, God moved upon him. Let me tell you something. The devil has perverted music. I want to tell you something. You need to study music. Now, music in your Bible, God said when he hung the world that the sons of God shouted for joy and they sang. The angels, in other words, when this world was created, the angels gave a concert. I don't like that word, but I mean, they sang. Now, singing goes back to God. Here's what happened. The devil, listen to me now, stay with me. The devil fell out of heaven. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Devil fell out of heaven. All right, when the devil fell out of heaven, he took singing. In the Genesis chapter number 4, I call that the perversion of man chapter. Because Cain perverted everything that was right. Cain went and built a city, built it without God. City life without God ends up in social failure. All right, one of Cain's descendants, Jubal by name, he was a man of the harp. You know what he did? He taught ungodly music. Now, there is a difference between godly music and ungodly music. Now, I want to say, if you sing, you ought to sing godly music. You shouldn't sing God's music one day and the devil's the next. Amen. That's right. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you this. Amen. Amen. That's right. A dancing foot and a praying knee won't fit on the same leg, Dr. B.R. Lakin said. Amen. You can't live in the world, live for God. Now, that's just it. And you say, oh, preacher, we'll reach them. You'll never reach anybody singing ungodly music. You'll never reach anybody listening to ungodly music. Listen, let me tell you something. What you listen to, what you put in your mind, if you want communion with the Holy Ghost, you can't do it with country music. If you want communion with the Holy Ghost, you can't do it with love songs and soft rock music. Amen. If you want communion with the Holy Ghost, you've got to do it with songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, right? That's what the Bible said. I'm preaching the Word of God to you. If you want to communicate with God, do it through music. And there's nothing wrong in your church of saying praise the Lord. The Bible said lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Ain't it good to praise God? There's a song we sing, praise Him, praise Him. Boy, I love that song, don't you? Boy, I tell you, I love to praise Him, don't you? He said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Well, we ought to get excited. We got the God of glory to praise. And boy, music just brings us right into the holiness of God, right there where God is. And boy, we begin to sing. We begin to praise God. And I tell you, when we begin to sing, God moves in. Amen. I sing a lot. I sing sometimes in my sermons. Amen. Amen. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own, and the glory we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with Him, though the night around me be falling. But He bids me go with the voice of woe. To me His voice is calling. And He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Boy, I tell you, you get to walking with God. Why, the neighbors may see you outside having a spell. Hallelujah. Amen. I never forget it one time I was praying. I was sitting on the sidewalk. Now, I don't know if my neighbor saw me or not. But God got on me. I was walking up and down that sidewalk. Amen. This had me a spell. Some of the best spells I ever had, just me and God. My brother, you ought to communicate with the Holy Ghost every once in a while. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You ever thought about where you was? You ever thought about the dark world? Oh, but God saved you. Oh, but God's delivered you. And you have communion with God Almighty. You can talk to Him every day. You can't get in the White House. You can't get in the governor's mansion. You can't get to the Pope's palace. Hey, but you can get with God every day. The one that created this world. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:1. And sometimes I look up in the sky. And it just grabs a hold of me that I can get a hold of the Creator. I can talk to Him. Oh, yes, glory to God. I can speak to Him. He's always on the line. Jeremiah 33:3 is God's cell phone number. Amen. That's right. Somebody once in a while, you got so-and-so's cell phone number? I got God's. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Communicate with God through music. Now, let me move on. Number 5. You communicate with God through understanding what the will of the Lord is. You see, the Holy Spirit has a plan for your life. God has a plan for the life of your, for your life. I was born 1966. I was saved 1978. Now, the moment I got saved, God had a plan for my life. I don't know that I've always followed God's plan. I've gotten out of the will of God a time or two. But for the most part, I've always tried to stay in the will of God. It is very important, young people, that you stay in the will of God. It does matter who you marry. It does matter where you go to church. It does matter what you believe. It does matter what Bible you use. It matters. It matters. It matters. It matters. And you need a communing with the Holy Ghost is understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, let me tell you why. You can't do anything apart from the will of God. Well, there's some of you preachers. You're pastoring a church at Aunt Bessie's Uncle Jack's friend Sam got you. And that's the reason you're having the trouble you got. Man got you where you are. You'll never do anything for God like that. You'll never do anything for God. Now listen, I realize sometimes people put your name in. I understand that. I'm not. But I mean, boy, you believe the politics that goes on in these churches and in these. And I preach against it, man. I tell you what, if politics is wrong in Washington, it's wrong in our churches. It's wrong in our fundamental circles. Amen. We need to lay the politics down. It's who you know. And boy, if you don't know them, you ain't going nowhere in this old world. But I know God. I'm not too worried about. But I'm not worried about what you think I ought to do. But my whole communication with God is understanding what God wants Ricky Cothran to do. Now, man's not always agreed with Ricky Cothran. Matter of fact, man's tried to talk me out of the will of God a few times. When I know it's the will of God, I'm not going to let you talk me out of it. I don't face you in the judgment. I face God. Now, I'm submitted to my pastor. And I'm submitted to the board of directors that run GBI. And if we start to make a decision that they don't agree with, that they have input, I'm willing absolutely to listen to them. And I won't wise counsel, but I'm to understand. I'm to communicate with God and to understand, hey, God, what is the plan? You know, some people live their life and never know what God wants them to do. Well, I'm waiting on the Lord. Well, it's good to wait. I believe it's Henry Ford said it's good to wait provided you know what you're waiting for. I understand that. I waited for a wife 17 years. Some of you young people would about die before you do that. And I'll tell you what will happen to you too, young lady. You're going to marry a hippie. You're going to marry an old drug addict. You're going to marry an old drunk that you'll have to keep up the rest of your life. He'll beat you and be mean to your children and everything else. You go ahead and get out of the will of God. That's where you're headed. Nobody can't tell you nothing. Young man, nobody can't tell you nothing. That little old girl's going to wind you around her finger and she's going to boss you around the rest of her life. Amen. Because you had, when you marry her, you got to go to her church. You got to do what she wants done. Let me say this. What's wrong with a girl marrying the boy and the girl going to the boy's church? Amen. Amen. That's right. That needs to be preached among our young people. You say, well, it's whatever the will of the Lord is. Let me tell you what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is for that young lady to follow that young man. That is Bible. Provided he's going to a Bible preaching church. And young lady, if he ain't going to a sound church, don't marry him. That's where you get in trouble in the first place. Well, I'll change him. No, you won't change him. No. Understand what the will of the Lord is for you. The will of God for me is radio. That's what I do every day of my life. God's given me more radio. Praise God. Just signed a deal yesterday or closed a deal yesterday. Go on another station. I mean, God's good. That's God's will. I'm glad to find God's will is life's greatest treasure. I found me a treasure. The will of God. I found radio. Now, I'm not going to say God won't let me do some other stuff before I die. I don't know that. But wow, I found me a treasure. Boy, radio's my deal. I mean, you need to find out what God wants you to do. Get at it. You know, by the way, did you know sometimes God don't let you do what you want to do? There's a certain thing I've been wanting to do for years. God will not let me do it. I took it off my prayer list. I just quit praying about it. It's in God's hands. If God don't ever let me do it, maybe he'll let me do it in the millennial reign. I don't know. But if God don't ever let me do it, he's still right. I'm going to serve him. I want to understand what the will of God. Now let me read you a verse of scripture. And by the way, I love you young people. Don't you think I'm mean to you. But the Lord will lead. And you're not wanting the Lord to lead. What you're wanting is to do your own thing. And God don't work like that. God's got a specific will. Let me tell you what Ephesians 5:17 says. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You can understand the will of God. The will of God is not some deep, dark secret. Let me help you. To be in the will of God 10 years from right now, I'm going to help you. If you want to be in the will of God 10 years from now, do this. Be in the will of God today. If you want to be in the will of God 10 years from now, just do what you... Young man in Bible college, I don't know what God wants me to do, all right? You know he wants you to read the Bible, right, every day, right? You know he wants you to study your Bible. You know he wants you to meditate in your Bible. You know he wants you to pray, right? Pay your tithes, be faithful to church. God wants you to do... You got to do those things first. And then God will show you what his will is. God, by the way, I'm going to say this. God will never lead you apart from this Bible. Now, I don't care what you say. Amen. I've had people talk to me and they've tried to talk me into things. Listen, there are certain things that disqualifies a man from preaching. If you've been married twice or your wife's been married twice and you've got some kind of blameless thing that's on you that's not blameless, you're disqualified from the ministry. Accept that. Go forward and don't waste your life trying to do something God ain't called you to do. You say, preacher, God called me to preach before it happened. Well, you disqualified yourself though. Amen. You disqualified. There's such thing as disqualification. Amen. Let me say, you may never get back where you was. Amen. I mean, listen, friend, give you illustration. The prodigal son had it made. He waddled off in the hog pen, got out of the will of God. All right. When he come back, he wasn't ever going to get no more inheritance. Now the daddy accepted him. The daddy forgave him, but he wasn't going to get any more inheritance. Amen. Once you get out of the will of God, I left the church when I was 23 years old. I shouldn't have never left that church. I should have been the pastor. Probably should still be there today. I should have been the pastor. But I left. I left out of the will of God. So God used another man there. I can't, so here's the thing about that. The thing about it is I missed some blessings. I don't know what I missed till I get to heaven. I have no idea what I missed till I get to heaven. Now, number six. Let me give you this, my friend. When you're communing with the Holy Spirit of God, never quench him. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. Listen, always say what the Spirit wants you to say. Always do what the Spirit wants you to do. Now, I'm not talking about, the Spirit's not going to tell you to do something crazy. The Spirit of God ain't going to tell me to get a bowl of Jell-O and walk through town with a bowl of Jell-O on my head, okay? He's not going to tell you to do something crazy. But listen, sometimes the Spirit of God tell you to give that man $10. The other day, the Holy Spirit told me to give a man a certain amount of money. He told me to give a man a certain amount of money. And boy, the devil said, oh, don't. And he does it every time. I mean, I've had it done all my life. And I gave the man the money. The next day, that money came back. That money came back. Let me tell you something, friend. God's always on the throne. I gave a man, and I knew the man was needing the money. And I gave a man a sum of money, and the man hesitated. He said, preacher, I don't know. I said, you take this money. I said, sir, before the sun goes down today, God will give me $1,000. And before the sun went down, God gave me $1,000. Now listen, you got to be a man of faith, believe God, and I'm not putting me up there. I'm weak sometimes, but I'll tell you this. If you want to communicate with God, never quench him. Never, ever quench him. I mean, listen, if God tells you to go to the altar, go to the altar. If God tells you to pray, pray. If God tells you to get up in the middle of the night and sing a song, get up in the middle of the night and sing a song. If God tells you to call somebody, call them. I've told you the story many times, how God told me to call different. One preacher, God told me to call him one day, and I didn't want to call that guy. I was praying. God said, I said, call him right now. I picked the phone up, and what a blessing. That man needed my phone call. I texted somebody the other day. It must have been a very timely situation. Don't know what all is going through. Man, they were so appreciative of the text. Let me tell you something. Never quench the Holy Spirit of God. When he lays something on your heart and you know it's from the Bible, do it. If he lays you to take food to somebody, lady, do it. If he lays you to make a cake for somebody, do it. I mean, don't go to heaven with a whole list of things you've quenched the Holy Spirit about. Don't quench him. Preachers, don't quench him. It ain't, like, can I tell you preachers something? It ain't what you want to preach on Sunday. And it ain't about your eloquent series that's got to fit together that you got to have every sermon in order. It ain't about that. Listen, there's nothing wrong with preaching series. Please don't misunderstand me. But don't close the door to the Holy Ghost. Be sensitive about what God wants you to preach. I want to come on this radio. I want to preach exactly what God tells me. You say, preacher, I don't like to hear you. Well, I can't help that. You say, well, preacher, you need to preach a certain style. Well, you take that up with the Holy Ghost of God. Pray for me. But God has let me be, and the greatest day in my life is when I realize I'm Ricky Cothran. No other preacher. I don't look like any other preacher. I don't act like any other preacher. I'm just me. I'm me. I'm country. I don't glory in ignorance. I want to be smart in the Bible. I want to be wise in the Bible. But I don't want to quench him. Amen. I don't want to quench God. Now, amen. Now, let me give you another one here. Number seven. If you want to have communion with the Holy Spirit of God, invite him to be a part of your life. You know, it's really good about every 3 hours. If you just say, Lord, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. About every 3 hours, just say, Lord, I yield myself to you. 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 o'clock in the evening, just wherever you are, just breathe under your breath. Lord, I yield myself. You invite him to be a part. You know, many of us, we don't invite the Spirit to be a part of our life. Lord, I got this. I can preach. Lord, I got this outline. This will preach. I can do this. Lord, I got this children's ministry. I can handle it. Lord, I got this radio station. I can handle it. Lord, I got this Christian school. Lord, I got this children's home. I can handle this. Whoa. We need God. We need to invite God. I'm on this pulpit committee. We can handle this, God. We don't need you. No, you can't. Invite God. Did you know if your church is seeking a pastor? If you're in the will of God, every one of you on that pulpit committee will agree on the same man. If they don't, you've got somebody on the pulpit committee shouldn't be on there. Or you've got somebody's heart ain't right. Did you know in the book of Acts, when Paul and Barnabas were called, the Bible said that not only did they know about it, but the church knew about it too. Let me tell you something. When it's God's will for a man to come to your church, I believe the church will know who it is. Oh, you may have the exception of one or two. Well, there's always somebody going to be odd and vote no or do something. Amen. That's just rebellion. That's just the devil. That's just the way it is. But I tell you, as a whole, everybody's going to know who. You know what? Churches today across America tore all to pieces. They get without a pastor, and this one wants that one, and that one wants this one, and this one wants that one, and that one. When you get like that, your church is going to suffer greatly. I know where there's a church. And they got to doing that, fussing and fighting and splitting and splittering. Amen. This has been some time ago. This is years ago. And I was pastor of the church. But anyway, people got hurt. And let me say this to you. Be careful, my friend. Because let me tell you, when you're in the Spirit of God, if you'll invite Him, listen, you got a problem you can't solve, invite the Holy Spirit. Hey, you got a marital problem, you and your wife having trouble, invite the Holy Spirit in. Now, you know, there's some people, they just won't listen to the Holy Spirit at all. They said, a husband and wife can go and they can sit down with the preacher, and the wife said, I don't care what that Bible said, I'm not going to do it that way. Husband said, I don't care what that Bible said, I'm not going to do it that way. I had a couple I was canceling. I don't do much canceling. When I pastored, I had the philosophy, I had 3 canceling services a week. That's Sunday morning at 11, Sunday night at 6, Wednesday night at 7. If you'll listen to what I got to say, you won't have any problem. But this couple, I was trying to help them. And I met with them for 2 or 3 weeks. First week went great. Second week went great. Man, we was making probably in the 3rd week. I got into something that they needed to be doing. And brother, that woman turned on me and she said, we don't do it that way. Now let me tell you something. There wasn't one problem. God does and the Bible does. And from that point on, that was the end of the canceling. And let me say this to you, friend, I'm not here to judge people, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to do it God's way or you ain't going to do it. God's laid down the Bible. You got to invite the Holy Spirit. You got to, preachers, when we preach, we got to invite the Holy Spirit to be a part of what we're doing. I want God to be in GBI. I want God to be in what I preach. That's not pharisaical. That's not super spiritual. I just want God to be a part. I want God to be in my marriage. I want God to be in every decision me and my wife make. We was making a decision the other day. And I said, well, you pray about it, and I'll pray about it. Let me know by the evening what you think. And as I prayed that day, the Holy Spirit led me. The answer was no. That evening, I talked to my wife about it, and she said, I don't feel like well to do that thing. I said, I don't need it. The Holy Spirit's already told me no. Let me tell you something. You and your wife will be on the same page more than you think you will if both of you will pray. I thank God for praying, wife. I thank God for a wife that invites the Holy Spirit to be in her life, that prays. Listen, your conscience is good, but the Holy Spirit's greater. I want to invite Him, don't you? You know, you remember that little song, He is Here? Hallelujah. I mean, boy, He's here. I can feel Him right here in the room with me. I invite you, Lord. I want you to come in. I want Him to be a part of my life. I can't do this without God. I can't preach without God. They record my message. We archive these messages. I don't know. Maybe they'll be played 100 years from now. But 100 years from now, I want God on my message. My wife was listening to some old preachers preach the other day. And she said to me, she said, boy, you can really tell those old men of God had the power on them. Man, when you listen to a man preaching without the power of God, it's like him running his fingernails on styrofoam. Or like him running his fingernails down a window glass. Man, that was screechy. I mean, listen, when you hear a preacher preach it out without the power of God, it ain't going to do it for you. It's like taking a stick. A preacher preaching without the power of God is like this. It's like him taking a stick, take a hoe handle, axe handle or something. Not the axe, but the axe handle. Remember that axe head fell off in the book of Kings. Preaching without the power of God is like taking that axe handle and beating a tree. There's 2 things going to happen. You do that long enough, you're going to break the handle. That's why some of these preachers are having nervous breakdowns. That's why some of them don't know where to turn. They have not invited the Holy Spirit in. Invite Him into your problems. Invite Him into your church trouble. Invite Him into what's going on. The second thing it's going to do is if you keep hitting a tree with a hoe handle or axe handle, it's going to scar up the bark on the tree. Brother, if you keep pounding people without the power of God, you're going to hurt people more than you're going to help them. You know what our problem's been in this century, in the 21st century, the last 25 years? We've had fewer sermons, messages. Let's get away from, I tell you what, I use that word sermon too much. Messages. We've had too many messages preached, and maybe we've had too many sermons preached without the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me move on. Let me give you number seven, of course, in Luke 11:13 says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now, I've got the Holy Spirit in me, but I want God to fill me. I want to be filled every day of my life. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, let me give you number eight. Obey Him. And that really goes along with Christian, but I'm telling you, obey. You remember Paul wanted to go somewhere and preach, and God said no. That goes back to what I said a while ago. There's a certain thing I've been wanting to do. God said no. And every time I try to pursue that, God closes the door on it. Preachers, can I say something to you that may shock you? God didn't call you to do everything. You see some preachers, they get in this ministry and that ministry. Every ministry somebody else has, they try to get in it. God's not called you to do that. That's ego. That's pride. Stay where you are. Do what God's called you to do. God's called me to reach the hills and hollers of North Carolina and Virginia with my radio stations. Now, I don't know where God's going to lead in the future. Maybe God's going to expand it. I don't know what He'll do. But I want to say to you, I'm to take what God's given me, and I'm to go with it, and I'm not to worry about it. I used to want to be a big-name preacher and a well-known preacher, all this kind of stuff. You know what I'm doing? I'm to obey the Holy Spirit. Just obey Him. Wherever He tells me to preach, I pray about stations. For I don't sit and think about, well, you know, this station's bigger and I'll take this one, that station. Look, you know what I do? I say, God, what do you want? I told you this story. Many years ago, I had the money to be on one station. I was on two stations. I was on a station in Elkin, North Carolina, and I was on a station in Dobson, North Carolina. The station in Dobson, they didn't hardly get out none. The station in Elkin got out great. I went and locked myself in the church, young preacher, and I prayed to God. I said, Lord, I'm going to sit here now, and the first one you put in my mind is what I'm going to take. And God said, I want you to stay on that Dobson station. And I started arguing with him. I said, but Lord, the Elkin station gets out better. I want you to stay on the Dobson station. I said, but Lord, but, and I kept arguing with him. You know what I did? I stayed on the Dobson station. Let's fast forward now 40-some years. The Elkin station is no longer on the air. It don't even exist. The Dobson station is now four times powerful than it was with an FM translator. And by the way, we own that station here at GBI. Let me say to you, God knows what's going to happen to you 20 years from now. Somebody you meet today may affect your life 20 years from now. Something you do today may affect your life 20 years from now. Some church you preach in today may affect your life 20 years from now. God knows what you're going to do. Obey the Holy Spirit. It is very important. Very important that you obey Him. You know why? Because God puts your life together like a puzzle. See, you can't see all the pieces, but God can. And God puts that life together. Now, number nine. Let me give you this one. Amen. And in Acts 16, I was going to read the scripture there where Paul, you know, he obeyed the Lord. He went where God told him. But let me give you number nine. Never grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Let me read Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let me say this to you. There's other bitterness. Unforgiveness will grieve the Holy Ghost. Are you going to live your life? Christian, listen to me. Are you going to live your life in bitterness? You say, preacher, I'm just going to be bitter about what happened. I'll be bitter the rest of my life. Do you know that you know you've stopped God's work? There's some of you right now, you don't even realize that God stopped working in your life years ago. You had that bitter divorce, and you're still bitter at that husband. God's already stopped working. Oh, you think God's with you. Oh, I love the Lord. I sing in the choir. I'm busy. I do the nursery. I do this. I teach the kids. Yeah, you're busy, busy, busy. But you're not doing anything. You see, without me, ye can do nothing, God said. There's some of you preachers. Years ago, old John Henry left your church, and you got bitter about it. And boy, you said, hey, all this, and you ain't told nobody, but in your heart, you're bitter at old John Henry. God quit blessing you years ago. And your church is sitting there withering away. You know why? You need those wheels to turn. You need that fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. Elijah goes down to Ahab and he said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. And that word means fresh, flowing, green, like springtime. You need springtime to come again in your soul. communion with the Holy Ghost. Don't give him unforgiveness. Well, I'll forgive him, but I won't never forget it. No, no, you didn't forgive him. Friend, commune with the Holy Ghost. Allow him. He'll be the best friend you ever had in your life. Allow a relationship between you and God. I'm nothing. I'm a little country preacher. I don't know much. But I do know what it is to communicate with a holy God. And I like it. I wouldn't have it any other way. Father, will you take this message? I feel like it was kind of feeble. But Lord, if there's some way you can use it, you do it for your glory. Have your will, your way. Save the sinner this nearest hell. In Jesus' name, amen.